Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Night edition of the Pajama Party. One of your hosts, Papa Didi. I'm here with Kettle.
Hello.
What's going on?
Not for too much. How you doing?
Everything's cool.
And I'm here too. This is red wine. Thank you so much. I'm invisible too.
Hey, Papa, what's going on? He had too much brown already.
See, you're starting out with that.
Yeah, we're black and invisible, you know.
That's okay. Say it loud. I'm invisible and I'm proud.
Okay, sorry about that. Wow.
That's okay.
What's that weird? What's that red wine?
Hey, I'm good. I'm trying to get my visibility back, but I'm good. How you doing tonight?
I can't complain. Mm-hmm.
Woo, happy Friday.
Out there today. Yeah, happy Friday. Yeah.
Yeah.
Chilly today.
Crazy weather.
Mm-hmm. I know.
Well,
I can't keep up.
But at least we didn't have any tornadoes and we didn't have any floods. So I guess we should be grateful.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
All righty. All right, where are we starting out tonight, Papa Didi? What's the chatter?
Well, it's a lot of things to chatter about. Let's go around the table on, do you think it's right for, and it's the first year this has ever happened, you know, the fact that Caitlin Clark, and I'm going to talk about this a little later, but Caitlin Clark, the young lady from Iowa who won all kind of titles, three-point titles and the most point server score. They even lumped her in with the men's title because the guy name of Pete Maravich was his name. But they called him Pistol Pack and Pete because he was such a good shot in college.
Oh.
She would score more points than him, which is kind of not allowed because you should keep gender records on both sides of the gender joint. So he stretched her over, just like last year when she lost the championship to LSU to the young lady, Reese. They tried to invite her. The president's wife, she was at the game. She tried to invite her team to the White House as well, but everybody said, you done lost your mind. You know, the winners go to the White House, not the losers. So, but what I'm saying is that, you know, it's like now that she broke all these records, everybody's raising their prices. They just announced that when they play the Mystics in May or June, that the tickets are going up to like $200.
Oh, wow.
For that particular game. And I'm going to get into later on how much she's making. But do you think it's right because a certain person that came in? Now, mind you, this is a white woman, and she's real good. But good black WNBA players have been coming out for years. I mean,
well, I would say
beastly for years.
To answer the question, if I may, I would say no, that's not right. If the Mystics tickets have been a certain price before this young lady was recruited and joined another WNBA team, I don't think that's right that you're going to jack up the price.
No, she wasn't recruited. She was drafted from college.
Drafted. But I'm saying I don't think it's right that they're going to jack up the price of tickets just because of one individual.
They're riding current hype.
Yeah, that's not fair. I don't think it's fair. What you think, Hannah?
No, you know, it's unfortunate because it seems like that's the way the wave is going. Like today, I don't want to get into it, but, you know, they're waving Taylor Swift. First was Beyonce. I mean, I don't have nothing against them, but, I mean, you know, they riding this wave. But
they ain't all that.
That shouldn't
right.
be. I mean, okay. If you're going to do that, then why can't the salaries go up? Hello.
There you go.
Keep doing this stuff here, put the salaries
right.
up for the women then. I mean, you getting the extra money as far as ticket prices. So put those salaries up. If you're going to do that, but do it across the board, you know, as far as
right.
salaries and some other incentives, you know. It's just what's going on. It's the hottest thing, you know, since sliced bread. They bringing in people. But I think that's price gouging, you know, maybe us as a consumer, we need
yes,
to start making some noise, you know.
Right.
It's like with the pandemic thing, you know, everybody started gouging after a while because they were trying to recoup their money. Shit, what kind of money are you trying to recoup now? Well, you just putting it
that
up because
green.
Of who it is. Yeah, I think so, yeah.
So I have a question. So when, for example, when Michael Jordan was playing with the Chicago Bulls,
mm-hmm.
when the Bulls, I'm assuming at some point the Bulls played the Washington basketball team. I can't think of their name right now.
Right. They were,
did the price of the tickets go up for that? Or was it just regular price tickets?
Yeah, it was regular price. I mean, you're talking back in the 90s now. So
well, I'm just saying, for example, you know, if, like, at
sure.
the time, Michael Jordan was, like, the hottest thing going. So when the Bulls came to D.C. to play, you know, well, then they were the Bullets, to play the Bullets.
No, they were actually the Wizards.
Oh, they were Wizards? Okay. Yeah. So when they came to play the Wizards, were they allowed, they meaning the Washington, whoever sets the price,
mm-hmm.
did they jack up the price of tickets? I'm just asking,
yeah,
like,
I'm
has this
know.
Been a precedent set in the past, or
yeah.
is this a whole new thing?
Right.
That's the point
right.
I'm making
right.
with
right.
the question.
Right.
Like, is this a whole new because of Caitlyn that now they're going to get away with this kind of stuff?
Yeah, very true.
Because that ain't cool.
Right.
Unless this is the way it has been done and we just didn't realize it.
Mm-hmm.
Either way, it ain't right.
Yeah.
But, okay, you said you were going to talk more about the Caitlyn.
Yeah, and what could
Caitlyn
happen,
effect,
but what could happen
it?
With Caitlyn is the same thing that happened with Aaron Rodgers last year.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Aaron Rodgers has been choking Green Bay Packers chain for a long time. Then he finally went to the Jets and he joked they chain to make damn near 50, 60 million a year. He goes out on the first fucking play.
3 minutes.
3 minutes into the new NFL season and tore his Achilles heel and was out the whole season. That had to be the funniest shit that ever happened in God's life. All the hype behind him. Now, mind you, Caitlin Clark could do the same thing. But, and also remember this here, Caitlin Clark is going from the college ranks to the WNBA. These are people, just like we got the draft coming up Thursday of next week. We got college players going into the NFL. That's a whole nother level of people.
Mm-hmm.
That's a whole nother experience. That's a whole nother age group that could knock Caitlin. And Caitlin ain't that big. She's going to have to fuck around and gain some weight, go to the gym, do some conditioning, wrap her hair up, because she's going to wear that pretty hair and all that Prada shit when she get in the WNBA, because they're going to be knocking her in her ass.
Oh, well.
But anyway.
We'll see.
We'll see. But no, I don't, my opinion of it, I don't think it's fair, because Cheryl Swoops and I can name 1,000 women of color that went in the WNBA that were hell on wheels. They didn't raise the price for them or anything like that. So, but like I always say, white folks are constantly in search for the great white hope. You know,
I think they think they found it.
I.e. Donald Trump. So whenever they can get the great white hope, they will try to get the great white hope any way they can get it.
Mm.
And that's what they're doing right here with Caitlin Clark. They're putting a ton of pressure on her.
I was just going to say that.
And,
that's
you know,
a lot
I
of
just,
pressure.
I wish her the best. Cause
she got to represent her people.
Because she was raised in Iowa. She played for Iowa. And she's an Iowan woman. She's, as the saying goes, she's a Midwest farmer's daughter. Mm-hmm. Walking into a Playboy mm-hmm. mansion. Oh,
oh
Lord,
well.
Here we go.
Mm-hmm. I will tell.
She didn't get a breast. Yeah. She didn't get a.
No, she doesn't need to do all
she
that.
She didn't get a breast implant.
Oh,
grow,
here we
grow
go.
Them titties.
All right, right, let's get into the rundown.
She still got 12-year-old titties in her
hands. Time for
you
the rundown.
You guys ready?
Got 12-year-old titties.
All right. What you got for us tonight, Kim?
All right.
In focus, Papa DD. In focus.
All right, go ahead. Don't listen to me.
NBA player banned for life from the league. Also, Maryland High School student arrested for after school shooting plan discovered. And families say organs of deceased Alabama inmates have been removed without their consent. Wow. My cocktail of the week. I got a good one tonight to warm us up a little bit. It's kind of chilly. What's poppin' with Papa Didi? Weird news, of course. We have to lighten it up. Russian music ruling the beat. Hundreds of pasta dumped in New Jersey woods, and servers speed walk through Paris, reviving a century-old race. Also, I'm just saying with red wine, it's not a good time. Interesting. Living for the City with Papa Didi, my Hollywood wrap-up, the Kiss It List, the last word. So sit back, relax, get your favorite cocktail, and we'll be back with In Focus.
Breaking news, this is Red Wine. So much goes on in a week. And here on the original Pajama Party Show, we break it down for you from our unique point of view as only we can. Get in focus with Kettle, Papa Didi, and me for our take on stories you might not have heard. Stay in the know. We'll talk about what happened this week right here on the Pajama Party Show. So tune in every Friday night at 9 o'clock on apajamaparty.com or call 914-803-4306 and press 1 to join the conversation. We're standing by to take your call right now, so give us a call, 914-803-4306, and press 1 if you dare.
All right, man, welcome back to the John Prayer. I'm one of your hosts, Papa Didi. I'm here with Kettle.
Hello.
And Red Wine.
What's on the swat, darling? All right, it's time to get focused. Let's see. Kettle, you're up first tonight. What you got?
Yeah, I see. Oh, I'm going sports tonight. Not a problem. NBA player banned for life from the league. The last person that I know that was banned for life was Pete Rose. The baseball player. Mm. And he was basically kind of doing the same thing, but the sports betting thing has just gotten out of hand. I believe I'm pronouncing this right. Jonte Porter of the Toronto Raptors has been given a lifetime ban by the NBA for violating the league's gambling policy. A league investigation found that Porter violated league rules by disclosing confidential information to sports bettors, limiting his own participation in one or more games for betting purposes. Crazy, crazy. NBA's investigation found that Porter purposely limited his participation in the Raptors' March 20th game against Sacramento Kings, specifically to influence the outcome of one or more bets on his performance. The NBA also found that prior to the game, Porter disclosed confidential information about his health status to an individual who knew to be an NBA bettor. Crazy. A different individual associated with Porter also bet that Porter would underperform on the 20th as part of an $80,000 parlay the bettor placed within online sports book. So from January to March 2024, while traveling with the Raptors G League team, Porter placed at least 13 bets on NBA games using someone else's betting account. That's bets ranged from $15 to $22,000, totaling $54,000. Wow. So the total payout from these bets was only a little bit over $76,000. So resulting in winnings of almost $22,000. Crazy. So Porter, he's only 24, and you're banned for life. You just started your career. as a place of the NBA began investigating him for betting Iggy Rowlands on March the 25th. So he played in about a month. The Raptors removed him from the lineup prior to the night's game against the Brooklyn Nets and hasn't reappeared since. Legal sports gambling has been on the rise in the U.S., and incidents of professional athletes gambling on sports have been increasing. What do you guys think about this crazy shakety deal?
That guy was just stupid. What's his name again?
Barry.
I'm going to put him on the Kiss It list.
Jontay, J-O-N-T-A-Y, Porter. Crazy name,
okay.
But anyway. So, you know, to me, that's not a lot of money as far as betting, and what you're getting in return is not much. But the shiggity that you're doing to help these games along, I mean, that's messed up. That is messed up.
But he knew he was wrong. I mean, when you start giving somebody inside info, you're telling people, I heard this story on another channel. They were talking about
mm-hmm.
he was giving them information about his health, and something
mm-hmm.
having to do with a health condition or whatever, injury, something along that line. In that particular
mm-hmm.
game, he only played for like 3 minutes or something like that, 3 or 4 minutes. So
mm-hmm.
he already knew, you know, what he was going to do, and he gave that info to somebody, which affected how they bet on the game. But now he's busted
mm-hmm.
for life. Now, this man was making what, like 700 some odd thousand a year, and you threw that
mm-hmm.
away over some idiotic gambling scheme.
That's all he was making? Only 700,000? You said making millions.
Well, that's what that's what they said. I don't know. That's what I saw in another
mm-hmm.
article.
Yeah, he was only making 700,000.
Mm-hmm. So he must not be
really
a major player.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But
are you familiar with
this
player, Papa?
Yeah, he wasn't that popular, but there's a twist to the story as well, if you
mm-hmm.
don't mind me sharing it with you.
Oh,
sure.
Come on with it.
He's got a brother named Coben Porter.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Coben plays for the championship Denver Nuggets.
Oh.
Denver Nuggets, an older brother of his, and he was sentenced today to 6 years in prison for driving under influence, which killed a woman, a 42-year-old woman that has a 5-year-old child in a drunk driving accident.
Oh, my God.
And he played for the Denver Nuggets.
What?
Now, imagine a mother who's proud that her two sons are playing in the NBA. One of them plays for the Toronto Raptors. The other plays for the championship Denver Nuggets. Now, they weren't no front-line players. You know, one of them rode the bench or whatever, but you're still in the NBA.
Yeah,
you know, whether you're bouncing the balls or sitting on the bench. But one of the persons gets banned. Now, imagine the celebration of two children in the NBA. Then one of them gets banned for life for gambling, while the other one finally goes to trial for an accident that they had back in 2023 where they killed a person in vehicular homicide who passed away and has a 5-year-old child. And today, his older brother, who's already in the NBA, gets sentenced to 6 years in prison. So imagine where mom is now.
Wow.
How deep
is
that? And it ironically happened 2 days apart.
Mm.
2 days apart in the same family. Peep that.
That's a major karma.
They reported
it
as two different stories, but it was the same family. And it just ironically happened. One happened on the 19th, and the other one happens on, like, the 16th. He got banned on the 16th or something, and this other guy his brother goes to jail for 6 years for a vehicular homicide, and they both was in the NBA.
Yeah.
Check that out.
Well, I'm reading on the Jontay, his salary was, like, 4 years, and the NBA was calculated about $6 million. So he wasn't doing too bad.
Oh, brother?
Yeah. No, Jontay.
Yeah, Jontay,
so they was making about $6 million.
Yeah, well, neither one of them ain't making
that's probably what his contract was worth. But annually, they said he was getting around 700.
Yeah, 60 years or over. So. Yeah, probably whatever, 4 years. They, like I said, they weren't no real showstoppers. But you know, you're in the NBA with all the perks that goes with that. And
what a mess.
Yeah, right now that family is really going through it. Because,
well, like I said, that's some bad karma coming back to that family. I don't know who pissed off somebody, but that's some bad vibes coming back.
Well, it all begins with some badass leadership.
Yeah,
really.
That's why I said I don't know who started the issue, but it's all circling back.
It don't sound like there was an adult in the room for them two boys. So,
for sure.
I'm not judging.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he without sin cast the first stone. I ain't judging.
No, we're not judging. We're just reporting what we heard.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's crazy. All right.
Yeah, it is crazy.
Just want to put that out there.
Oh, and speaking of crazy, I got another crazy one for you. Did you all hear this story about this this Maryland high school student that got arrested after they found out he had plans to shoot up a school in Maryland? This guy was arrested and charged with the threat of mass violence after police say they discovered the evidence revealing that this teenager had plans to commit a school shooting. They arrested him on Wednesday after authorities discovered a 129-page document, also known as a manifesto, that was written by 18-year-old Alex Yee. This guy is of Asian descent. Alex Yee. He's this is according to the Montgomery County Department of Police. Authorities learned of this manifesto following an exchange that Yee had on Instagram messaging with an unidentified person who felt that the school shooting was imminent based on the messages that he was posting. Now, the unidentified person knew Yee from an inpatient treatment at a local psychiatric facility. So, Yee referred to the writings as his memoir, which begins with a disclaimer that it's a work of fiction. Now, that's his document, his little manifesto. Now, in this document, Yee writes about committing a school shooting and strategizes about how he's going to carry all this out. He contemplates targeting an elementary school because he said he wanted to be famous. Now, the search warrant obtained by the investigators led to internet searches and drawings and other documents that they found related to threats of mass violence. I'm just glad that they found all this stuff before he was able to carry it out. The police department said that it was notified by the FBI about Yee's alleged writings, which prompted a joint investigation. And now Yee is being held at the Montgomery County Central Processing Unit awaiting a bond hearing. At the time when this article was written, they didn't know if he had secured an attorney yet. But going back into his history, back in December of 2022, this young man was hospitalized for threatening to shoot up a school. They said he had homicidal and suicidal tendencies, according to their arrest warrant back in December of 2022. He was hospitalized for 5 months in 2023 at Johns Hopkins Pediatric Unit. And more recently, on March 15th, FBI agents interviewed a school counselor who worked with Yee from late 2022 to early 2023, and said that Yee would express violent thoughts to the counselor, such as shooting up a school, wanting to hurt people, and the counselor said he would smile when he would say all this stuff, talking about how he wanted to shoot up the school, he wanted to hurt people, and he would say all of this with a smile on his face. So in response to what the counselor said, and all of this, the school district has increased security as a precaution, specifically at the high school where he was attending, because of a valid concern about, you know, potential school shootings. And they were hoping that having the visible extra security would serve as a visual deterrent. Now, they said that Yee has not physically attended classes at Wooten High School since the fall of 2022, that he's been enrolled in an online program. So I don't know what made him so angry or what was going on. There was another interview where they said he was considering targeting an elementary school because those kids were easier targets. I mean, it's just, I don't know what to say. I'm just glad that they got to him before he could carry it out.
Yeah, he...
They said something about he was unable to get a gun. So, fortunately, you know...
Because of Maryland rules.
Yeah, because of Maryland gun laws, he was unable to obtain a gun legally. So I guess that means he didn't know anybody where he could get one illegally, fortunately. But, yeah, I just think about how many other people are out here tripping like he is that the FBI and the police don't know about. That's a lot.
Yeah.
18.
I'm just glad they were able to get, yeah, I'm just glad that they were able to, you know, defuse it. Because
yeah.
It could have been worse. Because he was talking about doing it during a graduation. And
oh,
that usually graduation is usually in May. So, yeah.
Yeah, people would be sitting ducks at a graduation.
That's what I'm saying. It's just crazy, you know.
It's sad.
But, you know, it's sad because I believe the social media has part to blame. You know, I don't know about the parents or anything like that. They didn't talk about that. But it's just the social media stuff. It's just crazy. Everybody, they want to be famous so quick. Well, you know,
mm-hmm.
Go work for it. Go get a job in entertainment or something. Don't do something with your life. Besides,
yeah.
Want to kill up other people to make a name for yourself. It doesn't make sense to me. It's just senseless.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't get it. Senseless stuff. Yeah.
But you just brought up a good point. What about his parents? How could they be so oblivious to the fact that he was mentally unbalanced?
They
know, if the counselor...
You know, we don't know, but they could have been trying to get him help and just, you know, I don't know.
I don't know.
Do
I mean, if the counselor was aware enough based on counseling sessions, I just wonder, like, what were the parents doing in the midst
mm-hmm.
of all of this? I mean, obviously this didn't just happen overnight.
Right.
So I just wonder sometimes in these kind of situations, you know, like, are the parents just deluding themselves? I get it that love can make you blind to things, but when you start seeing your child behaving in a way that you have to, like, get beyond your love of a child and see what's going on.
Yeah, and this guy looked at war out, too. The fact that he's 18, you know, the parents has nothing to do with it no more. And he must be still in high school because he probably got left down. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, he was still taking online classes in high school.
Because when you were 18 years old, you should be,
a senior,
you know,
by
on
then.
Your way out.
Yeah.
You should be, you know, you're still in high school like that.
Okay.
You know, I guess when I was in high school, I turned 18 in April and graduated in June.
Mm-hmm.
So the last part of the year of me being 18. But, yeah, that's whole thing that he did. Thank goodness they shut that down. And I commend the police chief, the brother in Montgomery County that spoke on it today. And thank you to their due diligence.
Yeah.
And I tell people all the time that sometimes you got to be the adult in the room. Because the one thing that we have done in the world is that we've become so soft. You know, I mean, I make jokes all the time and say a lot of crazy shit, but in the seriousness of life and death, I think that we sometimes we give our kids too much, or we give young people too much of a benefit of the doubt, thinking they're going through a phase or whatever. But deep down inside, some of them really got some mental stuff going on really heavy.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, completely
mm-hmm.
heavy. When it goes to whatever, because his situation there, they were saying his real name and that he identified himself as male or he, or whatever he did with the title or whatever the identification was. And like I said, the mugshot looked like he was tired as he or she was tired as hell. I mean, he just wore out. Mm-hmm. The hair, the eyes, the disposition, the mugshot was just wore out. Like this man or woman, whatever his assignment at birth was, he was just wore out. And it was so sad that whatever his situation is or was, you know, the boy needs help, or the girl, whatever his assignment is.
He needs some help.
He needs help. Something is bothering him. There's been some bullying or whatever that took him to the point of writing a 129-page manifesto on how he going to kill. And he said, I want to kill the children because they're easier targets. What the fuck?
Yeah.
Wow.
He got a lot going on in his head.
That makes everybody got kids between 5 and 10 years old are just, you know, horrified.
Yeah.
It's like, what the hell?
Why?
You know, so.
But you know what? This increase of school shootings that started with, you know, a few years back, all of that has boosted the numbers of homeschooling because parents got to the point where they said, I'm not putting my child at risk anymore. So the homeschool numbers went up, I mean, like a major percentage, because parents said, I can't trust the public school or the private school system anymore because your child is a target any given day.
That doesn't correct the main problem.
No, it doesn't correct the problem, but some parents wanted to find a way to protect their children, and they went into the whole homeschooling thing. Because trust me, it's not for everybody. Homeschooling is a whole other world.
Yeah, and the parents can't be fucking idiots acting like they're teachers either.
No. You got to have I ain't going to go into homeschooling, but I'm just saying some parents took to that because of the rise of mass shootings in schools. You know, they said if the school system can't protect my children, then I will. So, all right. Keep it moving. What's your in focus tonight, Papa Didi?
That's interesting.
Yeah, it is interesting.
All right, I'm going to talk about something that is really interesting because, you know, they're not talking about the demographic on this as far as race is concerned, but here's another situation in Alabama that we spoke on. We spoke on Alabama before because, as far as I'm concerned, Alabama's been ratchet ever since, from what I can remember, George Wallace, when he got up there on the podium and, not him so much, but when Martin Luther King got on the podium and said that God has not yet turned his world over to Governor Wallace, who was the governor of Alabama at the time, and all the stuff he was doing, a blatant racism. I think that he was one of Martin Luther King's biggest adversaries back in the day. You know, one of the biggest people that was motivating Martin Luther King to stay active, to stay aware, and, you know, he just was dealing with so much. I commend Martin Luther King and every other civil rights leader that had to be in the trenches back in the late 60s. You know, Medgar Evers and Malcolm X and everybody else that died for the cause and was dealing with stuff firsthand, up close and personal, and people that had a hatred that ran deep. And I just said that little prelude to talk about this story. Now, this talks about the prisons in Alabama that are financially run based on putting people behind bars because people invest in the prisons. And the prisons is on the damn stock market and all kind of shit is going on with that. And, you know, people of color are usually the lead people involved in people's corruption when it comes to doing something that's corrupted. And like I said, it's black people, you know, it's black males in these prisons. We're just the pawns, you know. We've been so deeply rooted with trumped up charges and everything like that, that just like apartheid, our minds are so, you know, infested like Swiss cheese, where we've been so grind with the drills of people that make us believe that we're lower than whale shit. But let me read this story here. Families of some deceased Alabama inmates have been complained about the removal of their loved ones' organs when they die, or by the time their body is sent to the funeral home after it's sent from the prison, okay? Now, here's one example. It said after inmate Jim Kelly Jr. died last year at the Limestone Correctional Facility in a place called Harvest, Alabama. Now, as a note of precaution, if you're ever driving through Harvest, Alabama, don't even get out of the car and take a piss. Just keep on driving until you get to Mississippi. Don't even get out the car. His sister-in-law got an unusual call from the funeral home that was preparing the body for burial, asking if the family realized that his body came back from the prison without organs.
Wow.
All his major organs, like the liver, the heart, the kidneys, were gone. Gone. Now, but here's the flip side of it that I mentioned while we was in the room, in the green room, going over the stories with Red Ryan. Now, in order to remove these organs, you need to, or I guess you should, have a bona fide doctor, right?
You should.
Which go to show that there's more people involved. What's the cost of these organs? And these doctors know the cost of the organs, but I'm sure they're staying very conspicuous and non-committed to any type of obligation of it. They send the bodies back to the funeral homes, but ain't nobody saying who used the scalpel and where it was done. And like the show I watch on Fox, the cleaning lady, what that's all about, cleaning up behind people's stuff, you know, who was the cleaning person and who was the doctors that committed it? I'm only saying that as a broad level of how much it takes to pull this stuff off. You can't just say organs are missing. Organs got to be taken out by professionals, because organs are very precious when it comes to lungs and kidneys. And you can't just take that shit out on a dirty park bench and keep it moving. That shit's got to be preserved and iced up, or I'm speculating, but I'm just saying somebody got to be overseeing this, okay? It was only after contacting the University of Alabama at Birmingham, which is among the providers that conduct autopsies for the prison system, okay? University of Alabama at Birmingham. Now, that's the same college that Hoover's the biggest football team on the fucking planet, coached by, he retired last year, it was Nick Saban, all right? Oh. Now, everybody's hoorahing. What's the term in Alabama? Roll Tide. Roll Tide. Roll Tide. Nick Saban, the Alabama Jokers, and they doing their thing in football on Saturday and shit, cheering, but somebody's in the background, you know, just cutting up motherfuckers.
Matching organs.
Ain't that crazy? So anyway, another family received a day. They were told that their loved one's brain and heart was missing, okay? Lungs and other internal organs came back in pieces, where they took other little small things and left other things hanging out at the funeral home. So this is some Mormon stuff right here. With more than 26,000 inmates, okay, Alabama, severely overcrowded and understaffed prisons that are targeted by the U.S. Justice Department lawsuit that alleges that the state has not only failed to provide violent and sexual abuse behind bars, but does not protect inmates from excessive force by prison staff or provide safe conditions. All right, Alabama's men's prisons are also the county's deadliest, with the homicide rate in 2019 more than 7 times higher than the national average, according to reports by the nonprofit Equal Justice Incentive, okay? And the state's mass incarceration nightmare does not appear to end with death. The State Department and Correction Agency of University of Alabama at Birmingham now faces disturbing allegations that the family of 5 inmates whose organs were removed and reported kept without consent. Now, it's not even kept without consent. When you cut these organs out, you pass them to somebody that needs them. So by the time litigation goes on about the organs, these organs in somebody else's body, because you can't keep these. They're not taking them for research. They're taking them to keep somebody else living that's paying $100,000, $200,000 to continue life.
So they got a black market organ situation going on?
It's some crazy shit. It really is.
God.
So it's just, you know, all I'm saying is that right now they're saying there's a bunch of finger pointing going on between the university, the prisons, who's a doctor doing this, and nobody's talking. So it's just so interesting that when you sit back and think about what's going on, how money is the root of all evil, how people are just being savagely taken apart from the inside. And, you know, all you need to do is just ask for consent from the family, maybe, or, but they just figured, you know, fuck them. Fuck them if they can't take a joke, so to speak. But I'm going to leave it at that. But, you know, take your own assumptions, take your own judgment on this. But this is some barbaric stuff that's going on that really needs to be looked at. So
jeez.
I'm going to leave it there.
I don't know what to say about that.
If you want to give us a call and tell us how you feel, give us a call at 914-803-4306 and talk about it. You know, let's all go to therapy together on this shit.
Yeah. What were you saying, Kettle?
That just, this is blowing me away, but it just seems like it's the southern states that they don't give a shit about nobody.
Nobody.
Being black.
Nobody.
You know, like, they don't care. It's like they're in a different, like, it's almost like California. California is separated from the East Coast. It's like they are separate from the United States because who lets people get away with stuff like this? This is crazy.
It is extremely
and
crazy.
And I tell you personally, and I mean no disrespect to any other state, but as far as I'm concerned, southern states for me starts at Virginia. I ain't got to go that deep down the line because I've said on other shows before, when it comes to living life, I wouldn't take my big-ass toe past D.C. Ain't no way I would live any further south than Washington, D.C., and I mean that sincerely because I'm a northern black man, and I just feel like the South is a bunch of bullshit. And the people down there in Atlanta, like my mother always say, you may be down there in hot Atlanta with all the hoopla and habla and peach tree and all that, but your ass is still in the South. And if you take one wrong turn at night on them dark-ass highways, you're going to be in somebody's Klan-ass neighborhood. So keep on thinking you're living down south.
Okay, now.
That's just my opinion. You want to move to Atlanta tomorrow, that's your business. But I won't be there. I'll come visit your ass if I ain't staying.
I'll send you an email. All right, we're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to come back with Kettle and the cocktail of the week because I think it's about time for one on the other side of the break.
You are listening to the Original Pajama Party with Papa Didi, Red Wine, and myself, Kettle. You can listen to us on Deezer, iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, and iHeartRadio. So sit back and get your favorite cocktail and listen to your favorite pajama party crew wherever you get your podcast, because we are everywhere.
All right, welcome back to Pajama Party. I'm one of your hosts, Papa Didi. I'm here with Kettle.
Hello.
And Red Wine.
Oh, bonsoir, darling. I'm still trying to get over that last story. That's some foul stuff. Why are you stealing people's organs?
Yeah.
Right. Well, without their consent. That's the biggest thing.
Yeah.
Money talks and bullshit.
All right. Yeah, we need a cocktail. Ooh, it's time for the cocktail of the week with Kettle.
All right.
Ooh, what you got for us, Kettle?
Sit back, relax. This is something that's going to warm you up a little bit because it's got a chill outside tonight. This is called the Ciroc Cruster, the Ciroc VF Cognac / Brandy. We're going to put this in. This is the Ciroc Cruster. Ciroc VS spin on the New Orleans Found Cruster blends classic Bayou charm with modern sophistication in a glass. So we have 1.5 ounces of your favorite brandy, which is we're going to use to rock tonight, VS French Brandy, 0.5 ounces of triple sec, 0.25 ounces of lemon, 1 teaspoon of maraschino, and 2 dashes of bitter. So we're going to incorporate all these ingredients, you know, the Syrah, the triple sec, the lemon, maraschino, and the 2 dashes of the bitter, and put it in a shaker. Add ice and shake well until it's chilled. Double strain into a coupe glass brimmed with sugar and garnish with a lemon twist. And this is called the Ciroc Cresta. So enjoy.
All right. Ciroc Cresta. I like that. I like it. That sounds like it definitely would warm you up on a chilly night. We appreciate that.
You're welcome.
All right. All right. Let's see. It's over to you, Papa Didi. It's about that time. What's popping? What you got for us tonight?
Well, you know what? I'm putting my notes together. Let's take a little.
You want to take a quick break?
Quick little break. Yeah.
All right, Papa Didi, need a CC.
Come back with my notes here, right?
Okay, we're going to take a quick CC, and then we're coming back to Papa Didi on the other side of the break.
Your finest cognac over a glass of ice in a short glass goes great with Papa Didi's segment. Living for the City on Blog Talk Radio every Friday night at 9 p.m. Eastern Time or apajamaparty.com on a live stream. I want to talk to that Papa Didi myself. I'm going to hit him up. It's on 914-803-4306. Once again, that's 914-803-4306. And you should too.
All right, welcome back to the John Prairie. I'm going to host Papa Didi. I'm here with Kettle.
Hello.
And Red Wine.
Bonsoir, darling.
All right, excuse me. I just had to pull my notes and everything together.
All right. Now it's time for What's Popping with Papa Didi.
Okay. Now, as I usually do, I like to give a prelude to what I'm about to talk about. Caitlin Clark, let's talk about her for a minute, and no disrespect to this woman, because she's a beast. You know, she's a younger Steph Curry. This girl was popping 3-point shots like it wasn't nothing, you know, and she's got poise, she's got dribbling abilities, she's got running abilities, she's good, you know. She's small, but she's good. She really needs to take up some weight training. She needs to get into some conditioning. Because whenever you go from a college ranking to a professional ranking, there's always another level of competition out there, like anything in life, you know. Once you go from your 20s to your 30s, you know, you go from your 30s to your 40s, 40s to your 50s, and so on. You need more mindset in order to handle the world, because there's more stuff going on that you need to be accustomed to. You know what I mean? You can't fuck with people in their 60s when you got a 30-year-old mentality. Shit ain't going to work. You may be smart as hell, but you got a 38, 40-year-old mentality, and you're trying to fuck with somebody 60 years old that's seen shit, okay? Just like the game of life. You can either go to college or you can, you know, go to business. Ain't that how the game of life works?
Mm-hmm.
Anyway. Let's get back to Caitlin Clark. Real good. Real good, real good, real good. What I don't understand and what I don't like is how the media is hyping her up as the next great white hope. Just like they did Larry Bird years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Same way. Because Negroes, when we step into any particular profession, we usually take it over. And that's why white folks has kept us out of stuff. Because we have the ability to be the kings and queens that we are. that when we get somewhere, we take over shit. Some of us do it as full-fledged people of color, and some of us are a little mixed, like a Tiger Woods and shit like that. You know what I mean? Tiger Woods went into the golf world. The golf world wouldn't be selling the clubs or the balls or the memberships at all if it wasn't for Tiger Woods. Because that shit wouldn't have lasted with Arnold Palmer and Jack Nicklaus and none of that shit. That shit would have got old. It was slow. It was crazy. People were winning in golf by -3, -4. Because, you know, the lower your number is when you win in golf. Tiger Woods came into golf and was winning by -13. Fucking everybody up. Arnold Palmer and, you know, Nicklaus and all them was winning by -4, -5. Tiger Woods was consistent on -12, -13 every time he won a match. Blew people's minds. All these guys golfing now was watching him like singers were watching Whitney Houston when they was growing up. Okay? Mm-hmm. Like Mariah Carey was watching Whitney Houston and stuff like that. And that's the way the world is. We stand on shoulders. Okay, now, getting back to Caitlin Clark again. Here's a person who's very good, but just like Larry Bird. Larry Bird wasn't neutralized until the college championship game between Indiana, which Larry Bird played for, and Magic Johnson played for Michigan State. Hype, hype, hype. Just like the OJ trial, black against white, everything like that. Everything is about race, in my opinion. And just like when Magic Johnson met Larry Bird back in the day, and they played, Michigan State played Indiana, Larry Bird, Magic Johnson, both in college, and Magic Johnson whooped his ass. But just like Caitlin Clark, that's the same way Larry Bird was. He was a good-ass white boy, just like she's a good-ass white girl. But take it now 40 years forward, where, well, 35 years forward. Now, white folks are still in need of the great white hope. So they put their hooks like a fucking pirate into Caitlin Clark. All the stuff she done, yeah, cool. Well, can she be the next great white hope? Because, you know, Trump is riding that wave. But as soon as Caitlin Clark came in there, they're looking for her. Like I said earlier, how Biden's wife wanted to bring her when she lost to LSU last year. They wanted to bring her to the White House. People said, yo, Mrs. Biden, you lost your motherfucking mind. We bring winners to the White House, not fucking losers. So she had to come to her senses. So Caitlin Clark didn't go to the White House. You know, your girl Reese went, okay? Now, getting back to Caitlin Clark. She's going now in the WNBA. The draft was the 15th of April, which was Monday, which was my birthday, by the way. Happy birthday to me.
Happy birthday.
Anyway, that night, she was picked on what team called the Indiana Fever. Now, right away, ticket prices went up. Boom, 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 boom. But the salaries didn't go up. Now, she's coming in at $76,535 a year. People say, well, we sure make it on endorsements. Yeah, but, you know, endorsements is based on personality. You get good endorsements if you can speak well, you know? Because I tell you, when I hear fucking Charles Barkley talk on some of them Subway commercials, that nigga needs to do some speech therapy.
Yes, he does.
That's my main man, don't get me wrong. But damn, I think he's more on popularity than fucking good fucking English grammar. But that's my nigga, I'm just talking about him, don't get me wrong. I'm not hating, God bless that man, that's my man. But Lord knows, you get good endorsements when you can really handle your shit like Peyton Manning. That long neck joker from NBA, from the NFL, who is advertising everything.
Everything.
How many things you see Peyton Manning in? Bud Light, this, that, bing, bang, boom. His ass is all over the place. And Caitlin Clark is good. She does the State Farm commercials. She's doing this. And she does a lot of behind-the-scenes stuff and whatever. So you can't never say, well, they'll make money in endorsements. That's what they make. But how much are you making on your base pay? Like I said, on your job, don't try to live on your overtime because that shit don't last forever. Yeah, I'm making great overtime, but overtime don't last forever. But Kayla Clark is only making $76,000. But now they're trying to go to Congress and whatever to say, well, why are they making so little? Now that Kayla Clark is making that. But let's talk about a girl named Cheryl Swoopes, who's one of the baddest sisters that ever played in the WNBA. Cheryl Swoopes came into the WNBA in 2010. She was only making $35,000.
Wow.
$35,190 compared to $76,000. Now, the sad thing is that the WNBA has always been the special needs patient of the NBA, okay? You know, like the Down syndrome of the NBA, all right, in so many medical terms. They always got the less of the less. And they never drew the audience and all, but they draw in a big audience now. And some of these NCAA championship games drew big-ass audience. So they want to carry it over to WNBA, but nobody talked about raising the pay of the players. But now they're talking about because of Kaitlyn Clark, because they want a great white hope. But they never talked about that when the black women came out ever since 2010, which was 14 years ago. All the way up to the present. Sure, it rose up. It rose from 35 to 76. Damn, sound like me on my job when I was in my fucking 30s, getting a $2,000 raise a fucking year. I was pissed at them jokers. But anyway, that's where it is now, $76,000. Now, let's talk about advertisement in the world today. How much do they make on a Cadillac commercial? Okay, how much do they make on a... anything. How much stuff is out there? What about that commercial when he's singing about dropping some sugar where the lady dances around? Oh. Or the other one where you got the little stuff on your skin. What's that called there? Eczema. Jardians and all. These medical companies pay big-ass money to advertise on these shows. They're giving these networks big money. I mean, like I said, I can go on and on about that. But the thing I'm saying, and I'm closing out on this, is that why did y'all take so long to talk about the salaries of the players when the Great White Hope came along? You didn't give a shit about the Negroes when they were making low money. It's like, fuck them, let's just keep it moving. But as soon as there's an opportunity to grab a Great White Hope, now we want to start talking about shit. And that is the same all over the damn world. White folks are so in need of the Great White Hope, they would do anything to lock one in. Now, it's Kaitlyn Clark, Donald Trump, Marjorie Taylor Greene, any motherfucker they can get, whoever. I can name politicians across the board, you know, that think that they're the ones changing the whole narrative of how great white folks are. It's a goddamn shame. But good luck, WNBA. It starts on May 16th, by the way.
Okay.
All right. I'm out.
Well, I'm not paying extra to go see a game. I would like to see a game, but them jacked up prices, that's not right.
Oh, you'll do it. Oh, you will do it, and you'll like it.
No, I shall not. I'll watch it on TV.
You'll do it, and you'll like it.
I'll watch it on TV for free. All right. Let's see, where are we? Oh, we're down to the weird news now. And lighten it up. Thank you, Kettle. It's time to lighten it up. And I've got the first weird story. This one is out of Russia. Looks like Russia is trying to regulate the type of music that people listen to in Russia. So check this out. The Russian Republic is said to have ruled that all music should correspond to a tempo of between 80 to 116 BPM. That's your beats per minute. So 80 beats per minute is relatively slow. And 116 is not that fast. So basically they're saying that anything that they call Western rave and techno, you know, those techno or like house music, all of that would be banned because that's probably more like a 130, 140 beats per minute. When you get into that dun da da dun da da dun da da dun da, they banning all that. Their culture ministry made the announcement in a statement this week. And the new standard of music is relatively slow compared to a lot of modern-day pop music, and it's going to rule out a lot of Western, meaning American, genres from being played publicly in their conservative Islamic society. Now, that was interesting. I didn't realize that Russia had a lot of Islamic influence, but so the republic's leader, Ramzan Kadyrov, instructed the culture minister, Musa Dadayev, to make Chechen music conform to the Chechen mentality, whatever that means. So they said borrowing musical culture from other peoples is inadmissible, no longer allowed. So no more Western culture music from not just the U.S., but anything that's not Russian. And artists in Russia who have recorded or performed songs, if it doesn't match that range between 80 to 116 beats, they're giving them until the 1st of June to rewrite their music. So they said if it's too fast or if it's too slow, you got to rewrite it by the 1st of June if you want to perform it publicly. I guess you can do it in your own house, but if you want to perform it publicly in Russia, it's got to be between 80 or 116 beats a minute, or you better put it in a can somewhere and forget about it. As they say in New York, forget about it. That's what they're doing. So all the rave and techno music that has a higher BPM is going to be banned as of June 1st under the new rule. What is that about?
Russians don't have nothing else to do, I guess.
But I know, it's like, what, you don't like fast music? You don't want people to get hyped, get crunk? They don't want folks to get crunk in Russia.
Oh, boy.
Ooh, that is crazy. All right, yeah. Coming back to you, Kettle, what's your weird news?
We're going north. We're going to Jersey. Hundreds of pasta is dumped in New Jersey woods. This is crazy. Imagine going for a leisurely hike and stumbling upon mounds of pasta in the woods. It seems highly unlikely unless you were recently walking near the river basin in Old Bridge, New Jersey, where hundreds of pounds of cooked pasta were dumped in the area last month. Their origins remain a mystery. Somebody named Nina Jasnowicz, who ran for city council in the town of about 66,000, posted images of the piles of pasta in a Facebook group, thanking the Public Works Department for cleaning up the estimated 500-pound mess. Really? So it goes on to say in her post, she criticized the mayor, saying he ignored the situation. Jasnowicz ran on a platform of cleaning up the waterways and environment in the town and wants to improve waste and recycling services with initiatives like bulk pickup. So while the visual spaghetti and macaroni becoming one with nature is off-putting, many found humor in the peculiar sight, including the one that found it, who called it Mission and Pastable.
Oh, my gosh.
I don't understand. Who would make some cooked pasta and dump it? Unless maybe it was bad pasta and they dumped it out there in the woods. I don't know.
But it sounds like it was quite a lot.
Mm-hmm. 500 pounds.
Oh, my gosh. And they just threw it in the woods.
Threw it in the woods. I guess it was bad pasta.
It is something really wrong with it. I don't know what is going on. What is going on?
That's why it's
all
weird.
Right. Yeah, that's some weird stuff. Dumping pasta in the woods. All right, we're going to have to put the pasta dumpers on the kiss it list, too. All right. Over to you, Papa Didi. What's your weird?
Some people just raised on dumping. That's what they do.
They just dump everything.
I'm too scared. I don't want to go to fucking jail. Anyway.
That's right. All right. What you got?
This is over in Paris. They're trying to do a speed racing when it comes to servers. They're saying that the service in Paris, as wonderful as Paris is, when it comes to getting your food and stuff, service is slow. I don't know whether it's the people they're hiring or what the situation is or the competition, the restaurants. But they have a server speed walk through Paris, which is revering a century-old race. All right, now check it out. Foreign stereotypes of French restaurants trend to paint service as slow in Paris. Mm. If you go to Paris, I guess you probably know that. But different people in different restaurants put together a situation where they want to prove the opposite this weekend as they hustle down the street of the capital with full trays in hand. Thousands of spectators gathered to watch more than 200 servers compete in Sunday's, it's called Corsa de Café, a newly revered version of a century-old race. Waiters and waitresses, right? They travel like 1.2 mile loop, starting at the end at starting one or two mile loop,
mm-hmm.
What starts and it ends at City Hall. Okay, they're suited up with traditional things on their tray. They have crisp white shirts, black trousers, neatly tied aprons, and in some cases bow ties. They're each carrying a tray loaded with croissants, a full glass of water, and an empty coffee cup. The goal is to cross the finish line as quickly as possible without running or spilling or carrying the tray with two hands at the same time. Now,
okay.
At the end, they evaluate all these people. Now, the judges at the finish line inspect the contestants' trays, docking points for splashed water, broken dishes, empty glasses. According to the New York Times, which reported that most people finished under 20 minutes. Now, the men's winner was a guy named Sammy Loomis. He finished in 13 minutes and 30 seconds, while the female winner's name was Paulette Van. She clocked in at 14 minutes, a minute later. Aside from bragging rights, each one won a medal for the night. They stayed at a nice, fancy hotel, and they got two tickets to the upcoming Olympics.
Oh.
At the opening ceremonies this summer. This is what the Associated Press had reported.
I guess that was worth it, then.
So they're trying to speed up the service. So many restaurants that service is slow because they can't really, you know, good help is hard to find all over the damn world.
Yeah, that's what they say.
Interesting.
Yeah, very much. I didn't realize that Paris had a server problem with the speed. I guess when you order food in Paris, you better not be too hungry because you're going to wait. All righty, we're going to take a break, and we're coming back with I'm Just Saying on the other side of the break on the Pajama Party Show.
You are listening to the original Pajama Party with Papa Didi, Red Wine, and myself, Kettle. You can listen to us on Deezer, iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, and iHeartRadio. So sit back and get your favorite cocktail and listen to your favorite pajama party crew wherever you get your podcast, because we are everywhere.
All right, welcome back to Pajama Party. I'm one of your hosts, Papa DM here. Okay?
Hello.
And Red Wine.
Bonsoir, darling.
All right, next, let's go to Red Wine for I'm Just Saying. What are you talking about tonight?
You know, this is something that I found really interesting, and I just want to spread the news. Tonight, I'm saying it's not a good time. I don't know if any of you have looked at Netflix's new animated adult cartoon, Good Times, Black Again, I think they call it. It's supposed to be the reboot of Good Times. Well, I'm just here to let you know it was not a good time. It was horrible. Mm. That show was every bit as offensive as the 2-minute trailer promised it would be. I mean, I was offended just from the trailer. And I thought, okay, the trailer was horrendous, but I'm going to give it a chance. Now, first, I don't even understand why anybody would want to do a reboot of Good Times in the first place. That was done like around 75, 76. I think it ran for about 4 years, maybe 5. But it had its time. It had its place. Let things lay where they are. All these reboots and stuff from shows that were done 30, 40, 50 years ago, it just doesn't work when you try to reboot it. But anyhow, this reboot had, it was just full of stereotypes, caricatures, and that was just what I saw in the trailer. So, I mean, who knew that you could make something more hood than the hood? They showed the hood like 10 times more hood, if that was even possible. I think when I watched 8 minutes of the first episode, and I couldn't even stomach it. It literally was making me feel physically ill. 8 minutes in, I felt like I was going to puke. Now, Seth MacFarlane, you know, he's the guy that created The Family Guy, and he's done a bunch of other, you know, wild borderline shows. So I knew it was going to be raunchy and borderline because, you know, that's just what Seth MacFarlane does. But I was not expecting this monstrosity. Now, the father is a character named Reggie. This dude is overweight. He's got hypertension. He is a cab driver who gets stiffed all the time. People get in his cab, and when he tells them how much they owe, they're giving him anything from a Bitcoin to coupons to all kind of stupid stuff, and he acts surprised every time. So they're playing him as a big, fat, dumb black man. So that's a problem right there. Now, this guy is voiced by J.B. Smoove. I expected more from J.B. Smoove, but that's a whole nother issue. So in the first episode, they got this, the father, Reggie. He's in there taking a shower, singing part of the original Good Times theme song in a duet with a cockroach. Okay? Singing the Good Times theme song with a singing cockroach while he's in the shower. And he appears to be very happy about this little musical duet. The cockroach is sitting on the windowsill, and they're just singing this little song together. Ain't we happy we got him, and blah, blah, blah. Then it just gets worse from there. Why does Reggie then go in the living room naked with only his essentials covered with the shower bubbles in front of his whole family and deliver a little monologue? What is wrong with it? Oh, God, I don't even know how to explain it. Why is this man butt naked in all of his obese glory with bubbles covering his penis, all his little chest hairs, all of this? Why do we need to see all of that? And then the premise is that the family lives in the exact same apartment that the original Evans family lived in, and that Reggie is the grandson of Florida Evans from the original show. That's probably the only real connection to the original show, is that Reggie is the grandfather. Then you got, like I said, it just keeps going downhill from there. They have an infant son who's a foul-mouthed drug dealer. Yes, you heard that right. The infant son is a foul-mouthed drug dealer out on the street selling, I don't know if it's coke, crack, whatever. He's out selling drugs on the street, ducking bullets from a rival baby gang. Three other babies roll up on him and pull out the guns and shoot up everything, and he's running from them. And this was all in like the first 8 minutes. I didn't know what to, I don't even know what to say. This was the craziest thing I have seen in a long time. I was so turned off and repulsed. They are taking black people backwards. I mean, I know everything isn't going to be uplifting, but this was just stupid, to put it bluntly. This was just stupid. It's not funny. It's supposed to be a comedy. There was nothing funny about it. Like I said, every negative stereotype and caricature of black life taken to the extreme. I'm just disappointed that Netflix even put it on the air. And apparently, they didn't even put any what's called screeners. Normally, when you have a new show, you put screeners out to different organizations or different people that screen it first and provide feedback before you put it out for the public. Netflix decided they weren't doing that with this. They just put this piece of garbage out there and said, here, niggas, eat this up. That's pretty much what they did. Now, I'm thinking that the premise is this is entertainment for non-black people, because it is not entertaining for black people, in my opinion. I think the problem is that black people have just been doing too well lately, and this show is just to kind of knock black folks down a few pegs to say, don't get too full of yourself, because we got something for you, and here it is. Here is niggerdom and menstrual updated bullcrap right here for you in the premise of what they call Good Times. There was nothing good about this show. That's why the NAACP pushed back and said it was horrible and they want it off the air. Other critics have reviewed it and said this is a hot mess. It needs to go. Nobody asked for this. That's what I'm saying. Nobody asked for this bullcrap. Why is it even on the air? I don't know. It is foolishness. It is disrespectful. It is unacceptable. I'm just saying. And here's the kicker. Steph Curry is one of the executive producers. Did Steph not read the script? Did he not look at this stuff and see how the show was going? They show black women with great big breasts, big old bubble butts, all of the stereotypes. It is just so negative of black life and black accomplishment. It's like doing the reverse of everything that black people have done to move forward. It's an atrocity, and it should be off the air immediately. Good Times is not a good time. It's a modern-day menstrual show that nobody asked for. This is Red Wine, and all I'm saying is this is not a good time. This is a bunch of garbage, and it needs to go.
Ooh, hello.
I mean, y'all can watch it if you want to, but this is a hot pile of poop, and I'm trying to be nice. This is a hot pile of poop with vomit mixed in, and it needs to go.
I mentioned last week that Bernadette Status, she didn't have anything good to say about it as well. She thought that it was a negative portrayal of black life as well. So she wasn't on board with it. So did they use her character at all?
No.
Okay.
Oh, I didn't even mention the other part about the son. The son, Junior, they call him Junior. He's repeated the 10th grade 3 times, and they got him in the first episode. He sleeps on the pull-out sofa, and the mother is telling him to wake up, talking about she got to change the sheets again, implying that he's had another wet dream. You know, it's like, it's not funny. There's nothing funny about it.
Interesting. Wow. Okay. Some sad stuff there.
That was good.
Ain't nothing funny about it. Seth MacFarlane can kiss my grit.
That was real good.
And Steph Curry should be ashamed of himself that he's an executive producer, that he didn't put a stop to it and say, you know, I mean, they're calling nigga this, nigga that. The baby is cussing at people. I mean, come on. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. Yep. He'll get some call-outs on, you know, people are going to start talking about it. And he's going to
think
that.
Oh, they are.
Yeah.
People are talking and people are saying, kill this show. All right, we're going to keep it moving. Papa Didi, on to you. Living for the City, what you got?
That was a good one.
That thing made me angry. Every time I think about it, I get mad all over.
I didn't know you was going to say that tonight. Is he? What's that about?
Oh, I'm sorry. Let me go to the phone lines. Thank you, Papa Didi. All right, let's go to the phone lines to take a call. Let's see. Hello, caller. Welcome to the Pajama Party Show. Go ahead with your comment.
What's up, what's up, what's up? This is
hey,
the rebirth.
How you doing?
This is the rebirth of Papa Didi Jr.
Uh-oh.
What's going on? What's popping? I'm back.
Hey, miss you.
Yes, the motherfucker is back.
Uh-oh.
All right.
Moment. All right.
So I want to piggyback just a little bit off of what Red Wine was talking about, because on
do
social
tell.
Media, especially Facebook, they have the worst post I saw was whoever the creators were for this Netflix Good Times, they're not going to heaven.
They're right.
So I was going to watch it, but I'm not even going to waste my time.
No, don't waste
your time. Wow. Yeah, it's gotten a lot of bad press. So I was listening to everything you were saying, and I was just like, everything that you're saying is coinciding to the post that I've been seeing on Facebook. So,
waste your time.
It's pretty
like
bad.
You took it personal, and I ain't mad at you.
I did. I felt attacked watching that mess for 8 minutes. I couldn't take it. I said, you know what? This is some bull crap.
All right. It's good to hear these voices again.
Same here. Good to hear your voice, caller.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
All right. Well,
well, y'all carry
tonight.
On. I just needed to comment on it. I've been listening in and out. So that one kind of like touched me. I was like, oh, let me add to that.
Well, you ain't heard nothing yet. I'm about to beat it up for real.
It. Uh-oh. I'm Didi getting ready to unload.
You ain't heard nothing yet.
Okay, well, I'm going to sit back and listen.
Yeah, please do.
All right, yes. We appreciate
now,
you.
I'm going
to
get you.
Now, high. Papa Didi, give me what I like to hear.
Okay, I'm going to give it to you. Okay? Open wide.
Uh-oh. No, I like to hear that meat thing you say.
I'm going to throw a disclaimer out there first.
Uh-oh. It's about to get wrong.
I break all rules, so I don't care what you put out.
We're going to do it.
Sound like you got something in your mouth.
Yeah, well, you know, I was just having a little snack.
Oh, it's not red wine.
No, I'm a...
Oh, no.
I had to, you know.
I'm a good girl, I am.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they all say.
Mm-hmm. All right, caller, thanks for the comment.
On the phone right now.
All right,
y'all
so
carry
much.
On.
All
I'm
right,
listening.
Thank you.
All right, here we go.
All right, Papa Didi.
Now
it's on to you for living for the city. What's happening in the city?
You know, I was going to talk about Drano before Red Wine set her spill, because Drano was full of crap. I ordered some drain cleaner from HSN, and let me just put that plug on there. If you ever go on HSN, I ain't trying to advertise them jokers. He ain't paying us nothing, but I just want to put this out there. I had a sink that was stopped up for months that I just couldn't get. But I went on HN and I ordered something by, it's called Professor Amos, A-M-O-S. Write that down, Professor Amos. It's called Super Fast Drain Cleaner. That stuff is the shit. Okay? It's the shit. I've had a bathroom sink that's been clogging. You know, when you brush your teeth and it's kind of filling up, you kind of hit the plunger to knock it down or whatever you do. You know, like they got the little plunger now. You don't pull the stick up. It's got like a little suction on it you push, and that would take the water down. And I've been using Drano, so I'm ready to write Drano and say, what the fuck y'all got in your product? Because that shit ain't working. And you got this big-ass name, Drano. That don't work worth a shit. I ordered something called Super Fast by Professor Amos from fucking HSN. And that shit burned them fucking hairs in there like
It did a job.
A fucking bonfire. Anyway, let's get off of that. Let's get back to what Red Wine was saying. You know, this what she did was unleash my suspicions. Let me throw my suspicions out there. And like I said, the world is mostly racial. It's all racial. But the sad part about it, our children, I'm going to fuck with your ages now. So if you're in your 20s and your 30s and your early 40s, you need to wake the fuck up. And I'm only cursing to make my story sound better. But some of you motherfuckers in your 20s, 30s, and 40s, y'all are so fucking stupid when it comes to your black race that it's not even funny. You don't even know the fucking shoulders that you even standing on. A lot of you spoiled-ass, suburban-raised-ass niggas, y'all need to wake the fuck up because y'all ain't never done shit. Your mothers are still supplying you shit, giving you money. You're driving their cars and everything else, probably in the back room of their fucking houses. And you don't even react when you see something like Red Wine on TV. It's got to do with your own race being disrespected. Now, how old is your boy, Seth? Middle 30s. Okay, so he's part of it.
Mm-hmm.
He ain't never seen racism. That motherfucker grew up silver spoon, nice talent, did his thing, whatever. Married a crazy-ass woman who obviously wants some dick from somewhere else because she ain't satisfied with that shit. Remember she said, oh, I don't know why ain't nobody pushing up on me. Well, who do you want to fuck? Tell us. We'll send you some dick, Federal Express.
Nobody's ever pushing up on me. When she said that, it blew my mind. Show you how crazy the fuck she is.
But Steph is in his damn 30s, probably early 30s. So what the hell does he know about racism? He never even dealt with people of my generation that dealt with George Wallace and all these motherfuckers like the governor of Texas who's in a wheelchair and still fucking creating havoc.
Yeah.
Steph Curry is 36 years old. 36! Which means that he never experienced racism the way anybody in their 60s have, let alone people in their 70s, 80s, and 90s. Okay? Even the people in the 60s now is understanding what their parents been through, but what about our parents' parents? Because we didn't just start yesterday at this shit. We got parents and grandparents that are dead now that never recovered from the bullshit. But now we got kids in their 30s and 40s that ain't got a clue of just how fucked up things was because they never seen it. They never witnessed it. They never had to be a part of it. They were sheltered. They were blanketed. They had opportunities. They went to college. They got this and that. They went to the NBA, NFL, had a bunch of white agents that's telling them that the world is beautiful. We're going to send you over to the Golden State Warriors. You're a great player. Don't worry about it. You can live in a fucking mansion in San Francisco, and everything is cool. And then when your boy, what's the boy's name to produce the whole show? What's his name?
Seth MacFarlane.
Seth MacFarlane sat him down. He laughed at him. Oh, that's some funny shit. Because he don't know what it's like. He never been through it.
Mm-mm.
So we think that shit's funny. He don't see the original. He don't see the original good times unless he goes on fucking YouTube. And how much did he go on YouTube? He ain't going shit. That motherfucker's golfing over at the place over there by in Lake Tahoe. He won the Tahoe Golf Joint, Celebrity Golf Course. This man getting endorsements on Subway. This nigga got 9 pounds of fucking money. What the fuck does he give about the fuck about the black race when that nigga got 9 pounds of money stacked the fuck up? And I'm not saying he don't have any blackness. Don't get me wrong. But you ain't got the same blackness as your ancestors have or your ancestors' ancestors. And we got to understand that all that shit. But I tell you what he does feel when a fucking cop rides behind his ass and cut them fucking red and blue lights on, I bet you Steph Curry wakes the fuck up because that's the generation he was raised in.
okay, with Trayvon Martin and all the rest of the people that then got killed and shot by cops. Let a cop pull up behind his ass at midnight. He'll wake the fuck up then, because that's what he's seen and that's what he paid attention to. That's what his generation is familiar with. But the real racism of black people, he don't know that shit. Because he was able to avoid and evade. That don't make it right. And it's like you said, the other brother, Smooth, J.B. Smooth.
Yeah, J.B. Smooth.
He's one of the voices in there. Now, this is old nigga. This is old nigga. But this nigga just want to get paid. So, goddamn, brother, listen to some of these black actors saying that I will not be a prostitute or I will not be a pimp. Listen to people. Won't you let one job just go by or one job pass? I know the guy, Steph McFarlane, may say, well, look, I'm going to give you $75,000 just for being the voice of the yada, yada, yada. Won't you let it go? Once you see the promo of it, won't you let it just go by, brother? Because you can't put all that hat and fancy shit and act like you're so fucking fancy with your little skinny, ugly ass. And act like we supposed to represent you as a black man when you being on Netflix looking like a, or talking like a fucking buffoon. You know, it's a goddamn shame. We cannot grow as black people being 50-50. 50% of the people being white and the other 50% of the people selling us the fuck out. That's a bunch of bullshit. Because in the end, we all going to suffer. I was in Burger King the other day, which was totally run by Spanish people. I paid cash in there. She gave me back $3 and a $10 bill based on my bill being whatever it was from a 20. Two of the fucking dollar bills in the pile looked like them motherfuckers need to be shredded somewhere. They were so fucking old. I said, excuse me, can you take these two fucking dollar bills back? Why are you giving your old ass money to me? What is wrong with you, bitch? This is Burger King. Don't you got the commercial saying, you know, what, whatever the fuck they advertise?
Have it your way.
Have it your way and all that shit. Burger King. But you got your old ass money in your cash register that's in the safe. You're going to pawn off on the black man to come here? Bitch, give me some crisp fucking dollar bills. Take this soft ass shit that look like it's been in 9,000 fucking wash machines. Take this raggedy-ass fucking dollar bill. Who am I going to pass it to? Shit's softer than the goddamn rag in my trunk. And that's how we got to stand up for shit and stop acting like we free niggas, that we ain't got no problem, we got nothing going on. They hate our fucking guts in this world. When people see us, all they see is black. I don't give a fuck if we got on a three-piece suit or a fucking tuxedo or a goddamn night or a ballroom gown. All they see is black. But whenever we see them, we see a white man with a hoodie on jogging in Central Park, and we think he's a professional on his day off getting a good fucking jog. Why the fuck do we give them the benefit of the doubt, and they see us, all they see is black? That's bullshit. I'm going to leave it at that.
All right.
Hey.
I hear you.
He dropped the mic tonight. Woo, woo. Woo.
Mm. Mm. Coming with it tonight.
All right, ma'am.
Oh, all right.
Black. Mm.
There it is. Blackity black. All right.
You
we're going to take a black
pieces?
Quick break.
Yeah.
There it is.
Yeah.
And we're coming back with Kettle. Kettle's going to have the Black Hollywood wrap up on the other side of the break. Woo! On the Pajama Party Show. We'll be right back.
You're in the right place at the right time. It's the Pajama Party, www.apajamaparty.com, produced by DC Homegrown Entertainment. Don't just sit there yelling at the air. You've got an opinion? We want to hear it too. Dial 914-803-4306. That's 914-803-4306. Don't let us have all the fun by ourselves. We've got room for you at the Pajama Party. And remember, it's PJs only. No clothes allowed. Operators are standing by. Well, they're lounging on pillows, but they're waiting for your calls. So call us now, 914-803-4306. Now back to the crew and more of the Pajama Party. Oh, you want to throw pillows?
Hi, welcome back to the John Party. One who is Papa DD. I'm here with Kettle.
Hello.
And Red Wine.
It's on the fly, darling. All right, it's that time to get into the Hollywood wrap-up and get all the good information from Kettle. All right, Papa DD, let's hit that intro. Kettle's ready to go.
You ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Hollywood, ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba, Hollywood. Take it away.
Thank you, Mr. Papa DD. You guys did the damn thing tonight. We'll talk about that the last word. This week in Good Black News, Ashanti and Nelly are engaged and expecting their first child. Whoopee! Also, Nicki Minaj, she debuts a sneaker collection. And Tyler Perry, again, signs a multi-year deal with BET again. So let's get into the first story. Ashanti and Nelly, after getting back together following years of being separated, Ashanti and Nelly have announced their engagement and they are expecting their first child. She took to Instagram. Ashanti gave a behind-the-scenes look at how she was prepping for a show. Her mother asked her if she needed more time, and Ashanti replied, yeah, about 9 months. So she was able to get news at that particular time. Yeah, that was cute. Congratulations to the couple. They haven't set a wedding date yet, but I'm quite sure not too far. Probably either this year or by next year, I'm quite sure. Also, Nicki Minaj and Lossie, partner for exclusive launch of a vegan sneaker collection. Looks pretty cute. Rap superstar Nicki Minaj is expanding her brand in the fashion world with the release of her first sneaker collection, the Nicki Minaj Times Lockie. It's a partnership with the urban luxury vegan sneaker and apparel brand. Interesting. Ranging from $185 to $200, the collection features 11 unique styles of unisex bio leather shoes with a logo on the tongue that pays homage to Minaj as the queen of rap and the British roots of the brand. Interesting.
Okay.
So, want to pay a $200 shoes, go for it. Tyler Perry agrees to a multi-year deal with BET's Media Group. He is coming back for more. The entertainment mogul has agreed to a new multi-year deal with BET Media Group. He took to Instagram. Perry expressed his excitement about the new deal. Of course, he's bringing back Sisters, Oval, his new show, Zatima, also Ruthless, Queen's Men. I don't even know why this one lasted. This one called Bruh. And Tyler Perry's Route 187. It's a new crime drama will air in 2025. So at least he has some new stuff coming out, but he's bringing back some of the old stuff. But it's most popular to me is Sisters. I mean, I used to watch it for a bit, but I don't know. Characters just seem just too flat for me. So that's Tyler Perry. I give him kudos. I ain't hating. Also, Allen Iverson gets a statue in Philadelphia. NBA legend Allen Iverson is forever immortalized with a statue of his likeness now placed at the Sixers practice facility at an unveiling ceremony, which they did on Friday. He says, this is such an honor, man, and I don't even feel, it doesn't even feel real. Emotional 48, getting up there in age, huh? In 12 seasons with the Sixers, Iverson ranked second in franchise history in career points, almost 20,000, third in points per game. And also the answer is one of only five Sixers players to win NBA MVP, along with Wilt Chamberlain, Irving, Moses Malone. Kudos to him. That's nice. Allen Iverson. Boy, you make that money, boy. Also, LeBron James, Stephen Curry, and Kevin Durant will lead the U.S. Men's Olympic team. this year, 2024. U.S. basketball men's national team has assembled the league's best players to ensure they will bring home the gold. So we'll see. Grant Hill, the U.S. basketball team's national team managing director who selected the squad, shared his excitement. So Grant Hill, he's still in the basketball game. Yeah, that's cool. That's nice. I like Grant Hill. All right. And also, my girl Mary J. Blige, she pens a sweet tribute to Taraji P. Henson for Time's 100 Most Influential People's issue. The sisterhood between the stars goes back about 15 years. This past Wednesday, she released it. Time released its iconic 100 Most Influential People issued, in which the Color Purple star was honored as an icon. The outlet also tapped a 9-time Grammy winner to describe what solidifies Henson as an icon. She revealed that before they became friends, she admired her as an actor. Who didn't? But yeah, kudos to her. That should be a pretty good issue. So yeah, check it out in Time issue. And we haven't heard this name in a while. Since he got sick, he's been laying low. Jamie Foxx becomes BSB Whiskey's brand owner and creative director. Jamie Foxx, award-winning actor, musician, entrepreneur, can now add brand owner and creative director to his resume. Foxx has secured in the bag in the world of spirits. Fast-growing spirits, West Brands tapped Foxx for the exclusive release for their new ultra smooth brown sugar blend whiskey. Interesting. It's called BSB. So, interesting. BSB was made to bring people together, blended with brown sugar and cinnamon. It's an ultra smooth flavored whiskey that's perfect for sipping and ideal for sharing. Available online. And that's the BSB whiskey brand. Interesting bottles, black bottle, but you know, for whiskey, hey, I want to see what I'm drinking. But I mean, the bottle's nice, so I mean, you know, it is what it is. So, all right, that's my Hollywood wrap up for tonight.
All right, now, good stuff. All right, that takes us down to the kissing list.
We're going to the kissing list. It's people that showed their butt hiney and freaked out and whatever. You know, I want to put that boy, what's his name, BJ Smooth?
JB Smooth.
JB Smooth?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, put him on it.
All right.
Turn down a few gigs every now and again, brother, that puts us in the gutter.
Yeah.
I know y'all want to make y'all a little money, but damn it, money's that tight, you need to go down to the post office and apply for a job.
Yeah, that's true. And I can't remember the woman's name that plays the mother, the wife. What is her name? Yvette. You always see her on, like, game shows and stuff. What's that black woman's name?
Yvette Brown.
I think that's her. Yeah, she she voices the wife. So I'm faulting her, too. So she's on the kissing list. Jonte Porter, the guy who's been banned for life by the NBA. That was just stupid.
And his brother.
And well, yeah, and his brother driving drunk. Also, the Alabama prison system, whatever they got, and the University of Alabama, whatever y'all got in cahoots going on.
And the doctors is taking out them organs.
Yeah. All of that smashing organs.
Regular motherfuckers ain't cutting out organs.
Yeah, whatever that's about, y'all are on the kissing list. The Russian music ministry. How you gonna ban a whole group of music because of how many beats per minute? That's some wild stuff. You're just trying to just do too much to control people. And whoever threw all that pasta, 500 pounds of pasta in the woods, you're on the kiss it list. Who else? Of course, Trump.
That's a lot of pounds.
Yeah. But Trump. I'm putting Trump on the list over why can't you ever honor the gag? If you get a gag, what do they call it, a gag? Gag agreement?
Gag order.
Gag order. How many times does this man have to get a gag order that he'll finally stop running his mouth about the judges and all of that kind of stuff? But they just keep giving him gag orders one after the other, and he still keeps running his mouth. It's becoming a joke. What's the point of a gag order if you can't gag him? I don't get it. Marjorie Taylor Greene, she's been acting a fool as usual. And the people, the Republicans that are trying to get Mike Johnson Speaker of the House, all those Republicans that are trying to run him out of his job, y'all need to stop. The man is trying to do his job. I mean, I'm not a Republican supporter, but the man is trying to do his job. And they're trying to run him out of his job because he's trying to negotiate with the Democrats. What is y'all's problem?
Trump's running all that shit.
But, I mean, what they're saying is, oh, you're cutting deals with the Democrats. Isn't that what Congress is supposed to do, work together?
Trump is running all that shit.
But these rogue Republicans just want to keep fighting against the Democrats regardless as to what the topic is. They just want to keep arguing with each other. Stuff needs to get done. They all need to grow up. So y'all need to stop messing with that man. Let him do his job. If he screws up enough, he'll, you know, lose his position. So that's everybody that I got on the list. Anybody else?
That was good.
Anybody else? Go ahead, Kevin.
I was going to just going down the cast, her name is Yvette Nicole Brown, Jay Farrell, he plays Junior, Marseille Martin, and somebody named Slink Johnson. Slink, I don't know who that is.
Okay.
But Marseille Martin, she's on board as well, Jay Farrell.
Yeah, she played the younger daughter on Blackish.
What?
Yeah.
That group
Evans.
That's what I said, because that age group doesn't have a clue about racism.
No.
They don't have a clue.
But
so they saw it as comedy.
Right, but I'm not sure that, I don't know, I could be wrong, but I don't think they knew what the premise was and what the, you know, the ramifications of this particular thing was going to be. I think they didn't know the full circle. I really believe
no, they ain't that fucking stupid. I'm not giving them that stupid.
Yeah, but you got a script. When you read the script and you see the lines that you're given, some point your black consciousness
they do jobs
wake up
and move
and say, wait a minute.
How about I tell you, you got to be in the trenches of the struggle. If you ain't in the struggle, then you don't know and you don't care because it didn't affect you, so you don't feel it.
I mean, Marseille is the youngest one in the group. So if anybody gets a pass, it would be her.
Wow.
Everybody else, they're adults. They know better.
Well, don't she got parents? How the fuck are you
giving
her a pass?
No, I'm just saying, with her being the youngest one in the group, I said if anyone gets a pass, it would be her.
Yeah, but don't she got parents?
Yes, she does.
Okay, so what
I
the fuck are you telling her to act
the
like
operative
a...
word is if. I said
man.
If anybody
okay.
got a
That's
pass,
your opinion.
It would be the youngest one.
I ain't passing no fucking body.
But the rest of them, they know
You
better.
Can't call it they're bullshit adding, and then say pass in the same fucking sentence.
Well,
you serious?
I did.
Well, let me just add this.
Okay.
They're adding Wanda Sykes as well. Just said the character's
Oh,
unknown.
My God. Yeah,
so,
Wanda knows better.
Yeah, she should. Yeah, I agree.
Well, Wanda definitely knows better.
She need to stick with the Upshaws and get your money over there with the Upshaws and leave this stuff.
But see, they all think that they do stuff and they move on. Oh, yeah, that was something we did. Yeah, we just messed around with that and I got paid $65,000 for that. Bye, 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 bye. That's
but,
how they
but
talk.
But you know what? I think
moving.
in the long run, they're good enough backlash and they're going to pull this crap off, so. Yeah, let's just move on. Okay.
I don't think so.
Right,
they
so
got
10
episodes.
Everybody?
Yep, that's right. Everybody.
10 episodes.
Oh, yeah, okay. I forgot to add Netflix. Netflix and Seth MacFarlane and everybody associated with this, Steph Curry, all of them, they're on the Kiss It list for the reboot of Good Times. Now, that's everybody.
Oh,
all right. We got a special prize for him. And
kiss
it is.
My entire ass. Kiss my Irish ass. You better kiss my Irish ass.
This world, kiss my ass.
Kiss my ass.
You can just.
All right, welcome back for John Party, one of those Papa DJ. I'm here with Kettle.
Hello.
The red one.
So, Swat, darling, and we're down to the last word. Woo, what a show. Papa DJ, what's your last word tonight?
My last word is to stay conscious of your time, you know, because none of us are going to live forever, and we got to really check the history books and see how we got here and what we stand for. If you're just living for the moment thinking white folks are your friends, shit, you're going to be in it for a rude-ass awakening. All
right.
I got to say.
All right. Well, my last word is, if you don't stand for something, you will fall for anything. Don't just go for stuff because somebody hands it to you on a tray. Everything, as they say, that glitters is not gold. I'm going to leave it at that. Over to you, Kevin.
Okay, y'all sure and sweet tonight.
Yeah, I'm
going to
leave it at that.
I was just recently listening to a song, and I think everybody, it needs to go on their playlist, at least listen to it one time. And I'm quite sure you guys want to agree with me. Wake Up Everybody. Harold Melvin and the Blue Notes. I'm not sure exactly what year it came out, probably the 70s, mid-70s, or late 70s. But just listen to that song, and it reflects what's going on now. We really need to wake up, you
That's
know.
Right.
So things are changing, people are changing. You know, do you want to live in this United States? So you have to think about those things. Where do you want to start living? Because things are just getting out of hand. And I go back to the same thing. I preach the same thing about Washington, D.C. You got to get it together, baby. You got to wake up. Wake up.
Sure,
wake
sure.
up, wake up, everybody. Right here in D.C. That's
I
my
agree.
Last word.
Okay.
You're right. Al Melvin of Blue Nose featuring Teddy Pendergrass.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
He said, wake up, everybody. No more sleeping in bed. No more backwards thinking. Time for thinking ahead.
Oh, yeah. That song was very deep.
Okay, well, that'll do it for this edition of the Pajama Party Show. We want to thank you all for hanging out with us tonight. Hope you enjoyed the show. And if you did, tell a friend or two. Share the wealth and tell them to join us next Friday at 9 o'clock. And check us out on the website at apajamaparty.com. Don't forget the A. And we'll do it again next Friday night with a whole new show. We'll be ready for you. Hope you'll be here with us. That'll wrap it up. Gonna say goodnight. Say goodnight, Papa D.
Goodnight, everybody.
Say goodnight, Kettle.
Goodnight.
And goodnight. Adios, arrivederci, ciao, peace. We are out.
Initiating shutdown sequence.
Is it all over, Rock?
I guess so.
I bid you farewell, arrivederci, sayonara, and all that sort of jazz.
Well, when you gotta go, you gotta go.
Well, good night.
Dabiko, Sana.
I regret to announce this is the end. I'm going now.
Good night, and good luck.
Was it as good for you as it was for me?
Now give me a kiss and say good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Thank you. Goodbye now. Goodbye. Goodbye. Thank you. Goodbye.
Thank you for attending our show. And good night.